Do you think that science and medicine are ever going to acknowledge the spiritual that of course, they really can't explain? Do you think that that's even something worth considering? I mean, does science and medicine have to explain it for it to be real?
One of my goals with my book and with my further efforts through the website I mentioned in the book, you know, people can visit lifebeyonddeath.net and also Eternea, Eternea.org, is all about bringing science and spirituality together. Now, in talking about science like this, I'm talking about science with a capital S. That is the science of wanting to know the truth about existence, not wanting to get too hung up in the more kind of simple and limited view of, say, the pure scientific method applied only to the material world. Because the problem with the latter is that it's absolutely moot on anything having to do with consciousness. In fact, the hard problem of consciousness is one of the most crucial concepts in getting my story for its full power. The hard problem of consciousness, well defined in modern science, simply says that there's no one on earth who can write the first sentence in a chapter that might describe how consciousness emerges from the physical brain, how it is created by the physical brain. And that, I think, is one of the biggest surprises of the decade of the brain that ended years ago, was many of us in neuroscience thought that by the end of all that research, we would understand consciousness. Well, actually, what we came to understand is that consciousness is a far deeper mystery than we ever thought. And I would say the hard problem now basically is the most difficult and challenging conundrum known to all of human thought. And in fact, is the one question that is probably forever beyond solution by human brain and mind. And that is the mechanism of the physical brain creating consciousness, because quite clearly, it does not. It serves as a reducing valve or filter of consciousness. But consciousness is actually primary, and that is a crucial thing that my journey showed me very clearly. That's the thing that it really has proof of. Is showing that our consciousness, spirit, or soul is eternal, survives the death of the brain and body. And, in fact, the enigma of quantum mechanics aims us very squarely in that direction of being able to realize that consciousness is a far deeper mystery than we would think from a purely materialist viewpoint.
Do you think that the average person needs to have these questions answered in order to either assign validity to their own beliefs or what you're saying?
I think that the value of my story and kind of what I try to put out there is my understanding of mind and brain and spirit and consciousness and that life beyond death is that it does help people to have a more kind of modern understanding of it. Because for me, I had to understand it myself in the deepest level. And that's why it took me more than 3.5 years of very hard work to write the book, trying to understand what happened to me, why, and how. I had to go to the very depth of understanding the nature of space and time, mass and energy, causality, quantum mechanics, quantum gravity, the very front edges of everything we know about consciousness, to even begin to understand my experience and put it in perspective so I had a consistent system. And I would say, especially for those who think that there's a conflict between science and religion, between belief, faith, and knowing, I think it's crucial to understand what my message really is, because it's one that is very much consistent with the leading edges of science and shows the imperative of that all-powerful consciousness at the core of it all. And so in that sense, I think the average person benefits greatly from getting my story. My original manuscript was more than 3 times as long as the current book, and that's because I had to explain it to myself. And a lot of that had to be stripped out because it was far too much for the general reader, and the current book is aimed mainly at the general reader, although my second book will go into a lot more detail about the deeper aspects of this in terms of free will, causality, space and time. I mean, there's so much more to explain.
I just want to get your opinion on what you think about sin, because the way that you describe your experience, it was not something that was there. You know, it was not something that you spent a lot of time on, if any time on it. So, but it's a central part of many religions, the whole concept of sin. So what is your opinion on that after your experience?
That I saw that our purpose for being here, and the reason our souls are yearning to get back into this imperfect physical realm, you know, this soul school, has everything to do with manifesting that love of the Creator unconditionally for fellow beings, showing compassion and forgiveness, even in the face of the injustice and evil that is here. And we have the gift of free will from that all-loving Creator. And that free will allows us to either go along the pathway that's most consistent with that love, compassion, and forgiveness, or not to do so. But if we choose not to do so, we end up paying the price, because there are lessons that we must learn about handing out pain and evil and suffering to others. And we end up feeling those, that suffering that we hand out to others far more deeply than they feel it in this physical realm, because between lives in our life review, we have to go through feeling that pain as part of learning those lessons. And believe me, it's far worse there than it ever could be here. And it's not just for our victims, but for their families and for others who are anguished by our actions. So you can imagine somebody like Adolf Hitler, the life review would easily take all of eternity to go through all of that pain that was dished out in his life. But likewise, for any of the lack of loving that we show others, any kind of self-centered greed, every bit of that comes back, and we feel that pain because of what we cause to others. Because in essence, we are all one. At the deepest levels, the consciousness is one and becomes divine at its very core. And we must learn those lessons going through these multiple lives. And again, that gets into the whole notion of reincarnation and understanding the much deeper meaning of our existence by seeing myself and family and friends and patients through that extensive network across all of space and time of why we're here serving that purpose. But we do pay the price if we choose to, you know, sin or do evil to others. We definitely, you know, end up learning the lesson the hard way.
Well, I ask about sin because in some cases it's used as a kind of blunt instrument, either by religions or religious leaders or just individuals. And it just seems like it's not as cut and dry in some religions. Some religions, it is cut and dry. So is it something that is to be obeyed, or is it something that it's more of an individual choice in some cases? I think most people could agree that murder is a sin, but, you know, there are some behaviors that some people may not think is. Or so how much individual interpretation is allowed?
Well, I think as I see it, the moral compass that is necessary to make the right choice has to do with manifesting that unconditional love of the Creator for all beings. And as much as we do that, then we're following a pathway that is most consistent and will involve the least pain to our own soul in life reviews in that spiritual realm. So it really, as long as we're manifesting that love and showing compassion and forgiveness, and of course a lot of our own pain can be alleviated by having faith and knowing that our loved ones' souls continue to exist after death of the body, that our souls are loved and taken care of just as we manifest that love for others, it comes back to us. And so in that sense, I think, following that pathway of showing love for others and not showing what many would consider as sin, but it helps, you know, in making the choices in life that can seem difficult, is just remembering that one purpose that we all serve here. And that's what allows our ascendance in that higher realm.
Well, my last question to you is this. Do you think that you were chosen? I mean, you're kind of in a unique position of being a religious person and being a medical doctor and having gone through this experience, which is pretty unique, even in the world of near-death experience.
Well, I will tell you that it took me more than 2 years to get to a point where I would consider, you know, that I was chosen. Because deep down, I was always still the baby that was given away by my mother. So that put me on a very common basis with everyone. And I make that point at the end of the book, you know, that in essence, those who are kind of lost and stuck in believing that the material world is all there is, that birth to death, nothing more, in a sense, are falsely feeling like orphans, just like I did in my early life. And so I think my point with all that is I resisted very much thinking there was anything special about me. I did realize there were a lot of special features about my illness, having a less than 1 in 10 million diagnosis, you know, E. coli meningitis in adults, very, very rare, and having even a rarer return after 7 days in deep coma, and then having full and rapid return of neurologic function to even better than before, you know, that's totally inexplicable. My doctors say a medical miracle. And I think those miracles and the extreme rarity were all put there on purpose because it was supposed to keep me focused to get to some answers. For many months, I was seeking answers as a neuroscientist, trying to explain this as a brain-based mechanism to discuss the ultra-reality, how that could happen, even when severe meningitis had wiped out my neocortex and should have wiped out all possible experience. And I thought there were big lessons there about consciousness. I resisted long and hard thinking that it happened for a purpose. But finally, you know, especially as I realized more and more features about it all, I had to admit that maybe it did happen for a purpose. But again, it's nothing special about me. It's special about the message, because the message is very, very important. And that much I cannot deny. That's what's driven me ever since, you know, 4 months out from my coma. I began to put it all together and realize who that companion on the butterfly wing was and what it meant about the nature of the experience.